Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hello and hi. And wow, somebody hurled something at me. Thank goodness it's not a shoe.
Come on, that's the first one of the night.
That's why I like to tell you I love movies right before Comedy Death Ray, because, you know, when there's something as hot as the president having a shoe thrown at him in the news, you know it's going to come up a few times, and I win. And this is... Doug Benson's I Love Movies, and we're recording live in, let me synchronize on the time here. It is 8:07 p.m., and this show will be over by 8:37 p.m. We're at the UCB Theater in front of Comedy Death Ray's weekly Tuesday night institution here at UCB in Los Angeles, and this is their 300th show. And the audience that you can hear clapping right now is the audience for that show. And it's going to be a 4.5-hour wink marathon. I have a feeling it'll go a little longer than that of comedy. And I am thrilled and delighted to be able to do an I Love Movies taping before the start of that show. Now, somebody threw a shirt at me here at my table. And oh my God, this is awesome. It's Willem Dafoe, and under his face it says shithead. That is so awesome. Like, everyone who hasn't gone back and listened to the shows back when I was at handheldcomedy.com, and I think it's the site is still up and you can still listen to them, I think. But when I was over there, there was one episode where I was looking for a catchphrase to close the show with, like, see you in the balcony or this seat's taken or whatever the hell they say on those shows. And until next time, this seat is taken. That'd be a really harsh thing to say. But I needed a phrase, but also in one of the episodes I was just talking about, here's a sentence you never hear, Barbara Stanwyck is a shithead. And that led to eventually me saying Willem Dafoe is a shithead. I was just trying to think of people that, like, you know, why on earth would anybody call them a shithead? And then that became like my closing line at the end of every episode. And now you could see it if you ever come to one of the live tapings of this podcast. The guests always look at me like, why did you just say Willem Dafoe is a shithead? Because nobody that's coming on this podcast is listening to it. They're all like comedian friends of mine and actors and stuff. And so like Sarah Silverman and John Hamm and everybody I've had on in the past few weeks have always gone, what? Why did you say that? And then explaining it takes a long time. So hopefully all the listeners to the podcast that are newish have been caught up as to why I say that at the end of the show. And I'd like to very quickly just do a rundown of reviews of some of the holiday movies, the award bait, whatever, movies that are out right now. Just some quick reviews, and then we'll bring out my guests. And thank you to whoever threw the Willem Dafoe is a shithead shirt at me. And go ahead and sell those to the three or four people that would want them. Milk got some, thanks. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Is this a kid's movie about a bear? Doubt. Pretty sure I won't like it. Australia. Been there, don't want to do that. Gran Torino. Add the father to the middle and then take a nap. Clint Eastwood's very old. Frost Nixon. I'll wait for that to come out on tapes. Four Christmases. Vince Vaughn's best movie since Fred Claus. Revolutionary Road. Kate and Leo reunite to prove that the real star of Titanic was the iceberg. And finally, Valkyrie. Tom Cruise tries to kill Hitler and fails. Spoiler alert! My guests tonight on I Love Movies are two of my buddies that I love seeing and discussing movies with. This first gentleman likes to go over and entertain the troops in Iraq. And what else can I say about him? Oh, he's a regular on the Benson Interruption shows that I do at New York and Los Angeles UCB theaters. Ladies and gentlemen, Graham Elwood is here. Graham Elwood. Coming out, palm striking shit. Sit wherever you like, Graham. And my other guest was supposed to be on the program a couple weeks ago, two episodes ago. Did somebody throw something at you? He got some underwear thrown at him. You're talking to the mic when you have something to say.
Okay, I'll put these on.
Yeah, put them on, because there's nothing more entertaining in a podcast
yeah,
than
hey,
listening to
listener.
A guy put on underwear. That says, what does it say on it? I hate to stare.
It says, put away wet on the front. This is what's covering my vagina.
And then what does it say on the butt? Road hard. All right.
Now let's seriously talk some movies.
Let's do it. Oh, I should have said you have a site called Comedy Film Nerds.
Yes, comedyfilmnerds.com. We've got these 10% off everything in the store, including personally autographed Doug Benson Professional Humor Edian CDs. Ooh, fart.
Which was just named by Punchline.com, PunchlineMagazine.com.
Yeah.
As the number one comedy record in 2008.
Boom.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, and we're extending the 10%
off.
Suck
on that, Louis C.K. Yeah. At number two. Sorry, dead Mitch Hedberg. I am funnier than you. You came in at number five, sucker.
That's what you get for shooting Skag. Three spot.
You came in fifth, but it's still funny. All right. I love Mitch Hedberg. Okay, so, but coming out also out here to discuss movies, especially this guy always has favorites of the year and lists and stuff, and I always love that about him. And he was featured this year in Step Brothers and probably two or three other movies. He was the blind guy that lived next door. Wayne Fetterman is finally here.
Yes!
Two podcasts later.
Who's this guy? What's that weirdo? Oh, and also Wayne has starting a new job.
Tell that's true. Yeah, Wayne just got a new gig. He's moving to New York in a few weeks.
Moving to Manhattan.
And what are you going to be doing there?
I will be the head monologue writer for Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
That is awesome.
So your job will be
to watch Jay Leno at 10 and then quickly write jokes that aren't similar?
It'll be good. It's good. They need more monologues on NBC. They have the 11:30, and then we're going to do something.
Yeah, so but there's that break for the news. And my theory is there's just different segments are different up at different times, so I think it's going to work out fine.
I'm excited.
You are?
Graham's excited about it.
Nice.
So, Wayne, tell me, first of all, just right out of the gate while I'm thinking of it.
Yeah.
Worst movie you saw in 08.
I don't know if it's the worst, but it's my least favorite.
Least favorite, okay.
It's a little different. It's a movie called, I believe it's called That Just Happened.
Wow. Did anybody see that? Anybody here?
Was that in the theaters?
Nobody. One person saw it over there. What Just Happened?
It's called, I don't even know the name of it.
It's called What Just Happened.
It's called What Just Happened.
And you forgot to say ellipses.
Right, right. What Just Happened,
what
I think
just
is the
happened.
Name. Yeah. And it's, well, if no one saw it, this is going to be horrible for me to talk about it. Just know.
I mean, they certainly are just lobbing a softball to critics by calling it What Just Happened. Because that could be your entire review. Just repeat the title.
Well, it's a movie about Hollywood with Robert De Niro playing a producer.
Oh, yeah.
And it just made me hate Hollywood and movies.
You know, Bruce Willis hasn't played himself in enough movies. Like, that should be a twist in more movies that Bruce Willis shows up as
well, you
himself.
Know what?
It's always a delight.
Hollywood should be banned from making these types of movies. And, like, once in a blue moon, they come out and Get Shorty or something. But, like, honestly, like, you know, if you've ever gone to a film festival, there's a million of them. And there's always some young kid, and, oh, we got this film, and it's nuts. And, oh, there's a scumbaggy agent, and these guys are trying to get their film made. I don't give a shit about you're trying to get it made and crazy showbiz. Nobody fucking cares.
So you're like, you go to like Sundance and you're like a human space heater. People must like gather around you and go, this guy is so fucking mad that it sends a nice glow off of his body. And
I am totally a human space heater.
Well, what was the name of the movie that was pretty good about Hollywood where with Kevin Bacon and he...
Oh, yeah. Big Picture.
Yeah, the Big Picture. I thought
that was
very good. Entertaining.
Okay.
That was all right.
That was all right.
No, okay, let me just say something.
There's been a lot of good show business movies.
Right.
I don't think it should be banned.
No, I didn't. I'm not jumping on the bandwagon of the band name. Of that bandwagon.
Wow, listen to that freak laugh back there.
That guy, you better pace yourself. There's a lot of show coming up.
Take
a lot of show. This is just like, this is just something for you to watch instead of standing outside in the cold.
Okay, but can I say this? I saw another movie that a lot of people have seen. I think this is going to be my theme, is not knowing the name of the movie, but because I'm refusing to learn the word that is the name of the movie because it was so reprehensible, the movie.
Oh, I know it. I already know which one you mean.
Do you know the correct pronunciation of the name of that movie?
I think it's pronounced Cynodosh.
But
I know it's not pronounced Schenectady.
Right, that's what I'm calling it on purpose.
That's what's so confusing, because Schenectady doesn't even look right when you write it down. And then they make a movie that's a similar name, but not.
But it's Cynodosh, New York, right? It's terrible. Anyway, so but the reason that beat out What Just Happened, or That Just Happened,
lost out to worst movie on the way,
is because at least it was ambitious in its horribleness. At least it was like trying for something that I don't.
It's not particularly ambitious to go, oh, let's make a movie about the people
Hollywood,
that we deal with every day and have dealt with.
And the agent, and he's doing a bad Jack Lemmon impression. Well, no one saw the movie, so this is going to be horrible.
Nobody gives a shit. Do you have a worst movie of the year, Graham?
Oh, three words. Lake View Terrace.
Okay, it was technically two words.
What?
But,
wait a minute.
See, that's the thing. Wayne forgets the words, the actual words. I forget the syllables and how you pronounce it. That's what I forget in a movie so bad. Lakeview Terrace was one of those movies that it's one of those movies in the first like 12 minutes you go, oh, just fucking call the supervisor and say quit being a dick. And it would be over. Like, you know what I mean? It's like the movie with the wacky guy that moves in and he won't leave. No, throw his fucking ass out. You know what I mean? Like, you're done. Like, this really a cop in L.A., the most scrutinized police department in the world.
Good point.
He's going to get away with this shit? Like, he could literally go, oh, yeah? Hi, K-Cal, get your shit over here. It's fucking lawsuit time. And the guy would be out on his ass. I mean, this is a police department where if you bounce a guy off the hood, it's like police brutality. I lived in Chicago where I had a cop come up to me and my brother once in high school. My brother was yelling out the window, and the cop goes, if you don't shut the fuck up, I'm going to jam my nightstick up your fucking ass.
And he became the governor.
Yeah, he's the governor. That was a fun thing, but real quick, no one from Illinois or Chicago was surprised by that. The rest of the country's like, oh my God. Everyone from Chicago was like, yeah, of course, he fucking was trying to sell a thing. Like, that's what... What else would you do?
Right, because
you
know is it because the economy's bad that's just...
It's a corrupt... It's what Gotham City is based on.
Oh, I see.
Segway Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah. So... So my guests were pre-screened tonight. I would not accept anything less than saying that, yes, Dark Knight is the best movie of the year. And but Wayne
but
has
let me,
some,
can I say
some
that?
Issues
can,
with it.
Can
like
I qualify before I say
please.
That? Because there are a number of movies that I have not seen yet, so...
Like The Godfather.
No, no. I mean, this that came out
well,
this
speaking
year.
Speaking of not seeing,
I mean, I haven't seen
a movie. You haven't seen Valkyrie yet.
I have not seen Valkyrie. Because
that I cannot wait to put that on my. If it lives up to expectations, it might be my number one worst movie of the year.
Because you've heard about the accents. That's
I've heard
what you
about.
Telling.
It's all British actors and Tom Cruise, and they're all playing Nazis who speak either in a British accent or in a Tom Cruise accent.
Cruise accent.
Like, let's all pick one thing and go with it. Like,
right,
all the British people could have done American accents because that apparently is very easy for British people to pull off.
That would be great if it was just like all Asian actors running around going, "We gotta kill Hitler."
I mean, that's pretty lame when a movie star of Tom Cruise's caliber can't get a good, coach and really learn.
I know. Can I respond to that? Can I rebut what you're saying?
Please.
I'm going to say this movie, and I hope I get the name of it correct. The Hunt for Red October. Now, The Hunt for Red October.
Well, see, then that's
they
the thing.
They at least use accents. They at least use...
No,
least,
what do you
they're
mean?
They were all over the place in that one, too.
They were all over.
But that
Scott
movie's
Glenn.
Really entertaining, and...
Well,
the main
seen.
Guy is supposed to be American, and Alec Baldwin nails it.
And wait, you just mentioned Scott Glenn.
I'm talking
Scott...
about the main guy. If the main character in a movie is supposed
first
to be
of all, there was
of
two,
some
there was
particular
two,
ethnic
there was,
descent.
There was two main guys in the movie. Sean Connery played a Russian who was trying to defect, and he came nowhere near a Russian accent. He, as close as I'm doing
he tried,
a Russian
though,
accent.
He tried, though.
Here's what he did. He tried. Here's what they did, the device they used in that film. They were all speaking in Russian, and then they did that thing where they just like, okay, now it's all English, so we don't have to watch subtitles.
But I understand. That's not what I'm talking about.
I don't want to watch subtitles.
No, it's subtitles.
But you can watch. Did you need to? You don't want
to. I go just to watch the subtitles.
Sometimes I go to read the subtitles.
Yeah,
that's a little different than watching
mm-hmm.
them.
They should have hearing subtitles.
We should have a worse
where
riff.
You hear it in
okay,
two different.
This is...
You hear the movie in two different languages simultaneously.
All right. Well, my point, that wasn't my point. Yes, they did that in The Hunt for Red October. But I'm saying even once they went to English, it was one guy was kind of English and there was one guy was American, obviously.
Again,
Sean
though,
Connery.
The general enjoyment
and it's a great
factor
movie.
Of the movie made up for it.
But
you can't make a shitty movie and then also
well, why do you think it's shitty if you haven't even seen it yet?
There's no,
all
I mean,
right,
like in the
right.
trailer you saw like, we're going to get the Hunt for Red October, whatever his like, okay, he's trying. I'm watching Valkyrie, it's like, Hitler's a bad guy. Really? You're going to say that? Like, goddamn Hogan's
yeah,
Heroes.
Like, ding, 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 ding. And he's like, slides through the room with an eye patch and underwear on. So anyway.
I
what
I
are your problems? What are your problems with The Dark Knight?
Well, this is my problem
because
with The Dark Knight. Like Chicago.
Michael Caine does a good Alfred voice.
Nah.
Some men just like to watch the world burn.
That's not bad. Not bad from Alfie.
Michael Caine's actually very good at doing an English accent. He's
yeah,
really
he
nailed the British thing.
His Boston accent in the Cider House rules.
Oh yeah,
which I like to say like that, not the way it's supposed to be said.
Cider House rules.
No, Cider House rules. I thought it was a sequel to National Lampoon's Animal House.
It totally rolled. And at the end, the people from Cider House have a dance-off against. Yeah.
Good night, you princes of Maine, you kings of New England.
That was
Cider
Michael
House
Caine
rules.
In that movie. Yeah, and I'd be like, Cider House rules.
So basically, this is my problem with The Dark. Is I just felt like suddenly the powers of the Joker, that's his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the power
it's Joe Caillère.
Okay. Of Joe Caillère. This guy the powers of the Joker just seemed to get exponentially more incredible as the movie went on. At first, it was just like, oh, I'm a crazy guy. I'll stick a knife in my finger to kill a guy. And but then later on...
Earmuffs, if you haven't seen it yet.
Or a pencil, whatever it was. But I'm saying, but then later on, it was like no one in the entire saw him set up explosives in that hospital. No one saw them put explosives in two ferry boats. No one saw anything.
Well, he does. He is very clever.
How clever? Come on.
He's very good at wearing a makeup that would give him away in any setting.
And the people in it, but this was the thing. Did they in any way establish this is a crew of super brilliant? No, it was like they just went for the craziest people. And then no way. So it just felt like by the end, I'm like, okay, what else can he do? Can he stop time? Can he do
was
the
able to roam freely in the hospital in a nurse's uniform because it was Halloween that day. So
he's the most
crazy
famous
stuff walking around the hospital.
The number one criminal. At the end, I was like, okay.
I am like a dog chasing a car. I wouldn't know what to do if I caught it. I
don't know where to begin with how wrong you are.
Okay, let's do it. Tell me.
First of all, in the beginning, if you're just going off of the movies, like if you haven't read all of the comic books.
I haven't.
Okay.
There
we go. Boom. Batman Beyonds. Batman Beyonds. I don't know why I pluralized it, because the movie fucking rocks. That established how corrupt Gotham City is.
Batman Begins.
Yes. That established how corrupt Gotham City truly is.
Right, I saw that.
Which means, in the beginning of the movie, the Joker's like, "Hey, a year ago we could have gotten away with ever, but now the bat's and he infiltrates."
I got some nice pillowcases at Batman Beyond.
Oh, it's so
very nice, nicely played. Did you get the 20% off certificate that they send you in the mail?
Oh, how did you get that?
All the time.
I need very tough to get those.
Oh God, it's brutal trying to find one of those.
A special customer that walked by once.
It's like trying to find a realtor to send me a notepad. Here's the thing. It's already been established how corrupt the city is.
Yeah.
He obviously proves that he can kind of infiltrate anywhere because he's so crazy. And, you know, otherwise, it's a movie where the guy's a billionaire who wears a bad outfit. So you're kind of suspending a little bit of disbelief, in my opinion. I don't.
Yeah, you needed to have a more heavy duty belief
suspension.
All right. Yes.
So my belief wasn't suspended, though.
Your disbelief.
It's not that expensive having it put in. But yeah, you definitely.
If your argument is there's a guy in a bat suit, so anything goes, you're right.
Well, yes, it's a superhero movie.
You're totally right. It's not a superhero movie.
Yes, it is.
That's where you're wrong.
Yes,
that is where you're wrong.
Uh-oh.
Batman is not a superhero. A superhero is somebody who has superpowers.
That's what makes this movie so fucking great, because he wasn't born in some crazy planet. He wasn't bitten by a radioactive spider. He fucking got his
parents. That's why he's not a superhero.
Yes, he is.
You're making your own point in a weird way.
Oh, I'm the only guy who calls Batman a superhero? Wayne, come on.
Yes,
you're making this woman leave. Get out of here.
No, I'm saying to you, I'm sorry to raise my voice, but he's not a superhero.
Talk, I'm going
to
go take a shit.
Yeah, he's...
he's a comic book hero. What is the problem?
Book superhero.
That was my impression of the lady who left. That wasn't...
Oh, I thought you were talking about our conversation.
That wasn't me talking.
I thought that was our conversation.
No, I started it. I love The Dark Knight. I can listen to this shit all night.
You be the tiebreaker.
Let's just say, by the time that he put explosives on two different boats...
And wait.
Weren't you already thinking this movie's great and I'm having a great time and it's really fascinating? I mean, I wasn't that anxious to find things wrong with it at that point.
Why is your voice so high?
Earlier in the movie, I was concerned...
I was concerned
about... I'm trying to do it quickly, too.
Okay.
I was concerned about the mayor wearing eyeliner. That's the sort of thing...
Right.
That's the sort of thing that kind of was making me wonder what's going on in this movie.
Of course.
Well, he's got to handle all the crazy business in the Lost Island, and then he's got to be the mayor. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, and he's got to go up to Brooke Shields and say, Susan! The deadline for this story has come and gone, Susan!
No,
and he was also Batmanuel in the short-lived Tick TV series. So it's an interesting.
I gotta concur with Doug on this. Like, how would you after you're into the movie, then To me, it's the.
This is what I'm saying. It's like a movie
like
isn't allowed.
If you have a bigger nitpick with stuff that happens early
on, it's not a nit, and it's not picking. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying during the course of the movie, I was in. I was totally in. Loved. I thought Heath was beyond good, and I've seen him be bad in movies, and so I was loving it. Then I'm just like, am I really supposed to believe that he kidnapped the DA and the girlfriend and set them up in different places?
Well, he's always got people working for him that will ultimately get killed, so they're the dumbest people.
It's the most
like, word
corrupt
hasn't gotten
city.
Out that Joker kills every one of his henchmen.
Right. I love the movie. I love the movie.
The first 10 minutes is the best 10 minutes of filmmaking almost ever made. I can watch it over and over again, and I do. And
I like the.
If I could start some sort of voter fraud to make it win Best Picture, I would do it. I'd risk imprisonment, Wayne.
All right.
Yeah, the Golden Globe. Those assholes can suck it.
All right, Christmas edition of Leonard Maltin. See which one of you guys can get this first. It's from.
Wait, I thought I was supposed to ask you.
1989. No, we don't have that kind of time.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just going to see which one of you.
This 1989. This
settles the Darkman. Darkman. This settles your argument about that same Sam Raimi movie. No, this settles your argument about The Dark Knight. Whoever wins this, whoever gets this first.
Let's do it.
Say your name when you think you know it.
Wayne?
Yes.
Okay.
You got a guess already?
No, I just want to make sure that's the name we're going by.
Okay. You could jump in early and guess if you want. It's from 1989, and it was a Christmas-themed movie.
Okay.
Home Alone 2.
Did you say Wayne first? Graham, would you like to take a guess?
Graham.
Yeah.
Home Alone 2.
That's correct. Graham wins.
I guess I was wrong about superheroes.
No, that wasn't the answer at all. I just been getting the signal to wrap it up, and I thought that'd make a great ending if he just swept it away from you because he didn't say your name first.
By the way, home audience, this is me swinging these pink panties and throwing them to some lucky winner in the audience.
Oh, they're all dodging it. They just went to the ground. Like, nobody even reached for it. Anything else you want to plug, Graham, real quickly?
Yeah, comedyfilmnerds.com, and, visit me at the lovely MySpace.
All right, Wayne Fetterman, you got Step Brothers coming out on DVD. You play the blind guy.
I also have a little part in Funny People, and I just served. I just was on another episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, nice! Is the same annoying neighbor guy?
Thank you.
And when does Jimmy Fallon show start?
We start March 2nd.
Boom!
Okay. All right.
Special hi to Megan out there.
And thanks a lot, everybody. Willem Dafoe's a shithead. That's normally where the music comes in. There it is.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.